this ought to be said. I want to say it, and I'm afraid I might forget it, so I'll say it at the outset here. You know, God's controversy with this world has to do with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the point of contention. It's not the communist movement, or it's not the saloons, the liquor traffic, and the atheist, but the controversy that God has with this world is His Son. That's where it's all at, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. It's not that you don't have any option, no choice or alternative. He said, hear ye Him. In other words, as the brethren have said throughout this week, the message is bow. Bow to Him. Bow to Him. This is My Son. Bow to Him. And I think, some of this was in the mind of the Apostle Paul when he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And John answered that. He told us what that meant there this evening. What does it mean? What does it mean to you? Think about it a little bit. We bandy that scripture around a good bit. God forbid that I should glory in the cross, or save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean to you? I'll tell you what I believe that it meant to the Apostle Paul. And I believe that this is the right interpretation to it. The Bible says, His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Not in the manger. Not in the garden. Not in the wilderness. But on the tree. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying that is where God dealt with sin. Right there. That's where God dealt with human sin, human shame, and human guilt. And Paul knew that. Thank God I know it. That's what Don preached to us here. That's where God dealt with sin, was on that cross. Well, I'm so glad that I was here to hear that. So glad. I'm glad that I was here these last few days and heard these brethren who did not offer a cheap discipleship. You know what's being offered in evangelical circles tonight and tomorrow and days to come, through the media, through public speaking, through the television and newspapers and books and word of mouth, house to house, is a cheap discipleship. They offer a bargain. They offer a bargain. And that's exactly what it is. And who wouldn't take it? This generation is willing to trade with God. Who wouldn't take Jesus if He's so little that you could take Him? And He couldn't help you much if you got Him. Brother Barnard said this. He said that the gospel that is preached today, and I believe that this generation has been deceived, but he said that the gospel that is preached today by this generation, unto this generation, is a gospel that is so slick that you can swallow it and never know it, and you can lose it and never miss it, and you can go to hell and never regret it. Now that kind of a gospel that you can lose and never miss it and go to hell and never regret it is not the kind of gospel that Don preached to us here this evening. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, of this Bible, is a gospel that will bring men to their knees in complete submission and surrender. And the gospel, now listen to me, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the gospel that does not bring a man to submission at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not the gospel that God hung His Son on a cross to pay for. No, sir. That's not it. And I'll tell you this. You'll surrender your sword, which is a symbol of authority, or God will send you to hell. You'll bow to Him. You'll yield to Him. Turn with me this evening for just a few moments, the 16th or the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 15. I want to talk to you for just a little bit in regard to this 20th verse and use a basis for our talk or remarks here, the last two words, and we'll make it three words. He kissed him. He kissed him. And try to tell you what that means to my soul. He kissed him. Now, let me read here, verse 18. Says, I will arise and go to my father. This is a very familiar story to all of us. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. All right? Before he receives these kisses of love from his father, he had said while he was in the far country here, he said in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. Well, but he had done more than that. Else, the father's kisses would have never fallen on his cheek. You see, when he said, I will arise and go to my father, the resolution or the resolve in his heart had become a deed. And he arose and he came to his father. Now, the determination to return home is good, but it is when the boy begins the business of really carrying out his resolution or his resolve that he draws near the blessing. He said in verse 18, I will arise. I will arise and go to my father. And in verse 20, it says, and he arose, and he came to his father. Well, let's go on with it now. It says, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him. Now, I don't know if the prodigal son saw the father. But one thing I'm sure of is that the father saw the son. I'm sure of that. That's what Don told us. When you was out under that tree, Nathaniel, I knew you was out there because I saw you out there. Well, I'll tell you this. I don't know if the prodigal son saw the father, but I'm sure of this. that the Father saw him. Someone said that the eyes of mercy are quicker than the eyes of repentance. The Bible said the Father ran. The Father certainly is representative of God Almighty. And this is the only where in the Scriptures that I know of that it indicates an action on the part of God the Father to the extent that God is so disturbed and so concerned that He runs. It says that He ran. God ran. He was interested in this thing. His heart was in it. And when a man's heart is in something, it'll cause him to do something. It'll cause him to move. He'll move into action when his heart's into it. If it's just in his head, it won't go very far. Won't mean much. But if it's in his heart, and this is important, brethren, it's important for you to remember here this evening that in the salvation of a sinner, God's heart is in it. We talk about the love of God as if it was a calculated thing, that it was something to do with numbers or ABCs or some mechanical thing, 1, 2, 3, 4. But when God does something for a sinner, when God saves a sinner, God's infinite heart, His compassionate heart is in this thing. It's in it. God ran when He saw His Son a great way off. Says the Father ran. Ah, brethren, it says, someone has said that the eyes of mercy are quicker than the eyes of repentance, and slow are the steps to repentance, but swift are the feet to forgiveness. Swift is God Almighty. Swift. The Father ran. And what did He do? The Father fell on His neck and He kissed Him. You know what that means? When it says He kissed Him, it means that He kissed Him eagerly. It means He kissed Him tenderly. It means He kissed Him earnestly. It means He kissed Him often. And it means He kissed Him much. That's what it means. He ran and He fell on His neck and He kissed Him much. God the Father. My soul, He kissed Him much. I heard one of the brethren here, you remember, was it Jack Shanks, who said that we ought not ever to be enticed by the wiles of the devil and the things of this world and liberal preaching for us to come down from our position of truth in defense of it. We ought to remain firm and not come down. And he said that the world is eagerly speaking to us as Christians and believers, come down, give this up, give that up, come down. And I thought about that when Jack was preaching, and I didn't know that I was to preach then tonight, but I was looking at this particular portion of Scripture when he said, "Come down," and I thought here, it's just the opposite here. The God of heaven must come down. God must come down. The Bible said there in the book of Isaiah that Isaiah saw Him high and lifted up. Where'd you see Him, Isaiah? I see Him on a throne, high and lifted up in all of His glory, all of His beauty, all of His splendor. You must come down, come down, come down where I am in all of my filth and all of the muck and all of the mire. Come down! God Almighty, come down! My soul, this is something here that the God of heaven, you get the picture here now. If I don't say nothing more, this will be sufficient. This will do it right here. Listen to me now, get the picture. God Almighty on a throne coming down on the neck of a sinner. What do you think of that? Almighty God! God, why we ought not even mention His name without worship. There's nothing more than there's nothing worth talking about than God Almighty and His glory and His honor and His love. And God come down and fell on the neck of a sinner. He ran. He looked out. He saw. And he came and he ran and he fell on that poor sinner's neck. He fell on his neck. God falling on a poor sinner's neck. I'm telling you now, when we're talking about the love of God and the compassionate heart of God Almighty, we're not talking in numbers here. We're talking that He felt it. God's heart, well, He's not a man, but I like to say that God's heart began to leap inside of Him when He looked off there and He seen that sinner come. Was it Henry that said today that armies couldn't stop Him? Armies couldn't stop Him. All the power in heaven and earth combined and multiplied couldn't stop Him, but one poor sinner. One poor sinner by the wayside begging. One poor sinner. He said, "Who is it that's coming?" They said, "One Jesus is coming." And he began to cry out, "Thou Son of David, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." And the Lord Jesus Christ stopped. That staggers me every time I think of it. Oh, He stopped. God stopped. He didn't have to stop. He could have sent us all to hell. You talk about the love of God. My soul falling on the neck of a sinner. Huh? Not just falling there and holding on, but kissing you. Not one time, but kissing you much. Smothering you with kisses. Can you imagine the God of heaven on the neck of a sinner? Drew Garner is telling us this morning what God's like. I remember that, Drew. Drew said, "If you want to know what God's like, he said, like His Son. You see God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of this is what God's like right here. This is what He's like. If He's not like that, I better get out of this business. I better quit. If you can prove to me that God's not like this, I'll give her up. You can prove it. You're going to have to take something else besides the Bible to prove it to me, though. I'll tell you that. You're going to have to get some other scheme. Because this is what God's like right here. He's willing. It's you that's unwilling. He's willing. It's you. Yeah, it's you won't. You're going to resolve in your heart. There's some in a crowd like this. There's some here. You may not be as far off as this fellow was. You may not be in the muck and the mire to the degree that this fellow was in the pig pen. But I'll tell you this: if you're a member of the human race, you've been down there. You've been down there. If you're a member, right, Herman? You've been down there. You've been down there. You may not got as deep as he did, but you've been down there. Maybe you better start making a resolve right now. Maybe you better say, "I'm going to rise and come to my..." The invitation, it's been given. Since Don started to preach and the brethren started to sing, the invitation's been given. You need to resolve in your heart where you're at right now. "I will rise. I've come to the end of myself. I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. I'm mired down in self and in sin, and I'm a rebel against God. And oh, I'm sorry, I hate all of this. I resolve right now. Right now, I resolve." But yet you say, "Well, I can't. Well, I'm blind, I can't see." Well, you come, He'll give you sight. You come, just like you are. Don't wait until you can see. No need coming then, are there, Henry? "Well, I can't see. Well, listen. There's no need coming. If you can see, just resolve. I will arise and go to my Father." All right. It says he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him. his father saw him. I tell you now, there's a whole lot in that word saw. His father saw him. First, he saw who he was. That's the first thing. He saw who he was. My sheep. They hear my voice. And they follow me. And I know them. I know their names. He knew who he was. And he saw where he had come from. He'd come from a far country. It says down there somewhere, that says, and not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And I said that the father saw here, he saw where he'd come from. He'd been to far country. Far country. And you who sometimes were afar off in a far country have been brought nigh and made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Someone asked me one time, they said, well, how far off can a man go? Well, I really don't know. Now, you take a fellow that's a drunkard, just an old downright drunkard. He just can't stay away from it, and just abuses himself, his family, his neighbors, and everybody else. Now, he's far off. He's far off from God, isn't he? You take a fellow that's a thief. He's far off from God. And just going down the line, they're far off from God. You take a self-righteous man, he's farther off than they are. But I tell you this, brethren, you want to know how far? They've went so far. Don't make a difference who he is. They went so far, they can't come back on their own accord. Don't make a difference who they are. Everybody outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't make any difference how far off you are if you're only 3 feet. You're so far that you can't come back on your own accord. Just can't do it. You can't do it. God must send for you. He must send and say, fetch him. Fetch Mephibosheth in all his lameness and bring him to me and set him at my table. Fetch him. Fetch him. All right, the father saw. He saw who he was. He saw where he had come from. He saw him in tattered rags. He saw the filth on his hands and on his feet. And he saw what he had been. And he saw what he was now. And he saw what he soon would be. And brethren, and when he saw this, he had no anger in his heart towards that boy. No, sir. No, sir. If he'd have kicked him, he'd have got what was coming to him. Wouldn't he, John? He said, Father, give me the portion of good that falls to me, and I know I'm going to get it when you die. Give it to me now. I've been here a long time, and I've labored hard. I've done all right for you. How about giving me that money I got coming to me? Well, I'll give it to you. He gave it to him and says that he squandered it. He spent all, wasted his substance with riotous living. If he'd have got what he deserved, his father would have kicked him. He would have kicked him as hard as he could have kicked him. That's probably what I'd have done. That's probably what you'd do. My soul, we ought to have the Spirit of our God. Oh, let's not. We preach sometimes like we're mad at sinners. Don't we? We preach like we're mad at them rather than love them. We ought to be compassionate and concerned. Have a big heart for sinners. Christ died for them. Well, he didn't look upon that boy through icy eyes or a cold heart. No, sir. But the Bible says, his father saw him, and he had compassion. And I looked that word compassion up, and it means that he felt for him. That's what it means. Says he saw him a great way off, and he had compassion. He felt for him. He felt for him. His heart went out to him. he felt for him. My soul, he had nothing but pity for that poor boy. It was the state that he was in. Poverty stricken, the pale face, them rags tattered and torn. Come a long ways off, struggling, had his head between his legs. He'd already said, "My soul, if I can get up there," he said, I won't even ask to be received as son. He said, "I'll just be like a hired servant. Here he comes slipping in. And brethren, when he seen him and had compassion upon him and seen the state that he was in, this touched the quick of the father's heart. Now what did he do? He kissed him. He kissed him much. He kissed him eagerly. He kissed him tenderly. He smothered him with kisses. Let me tell you now quick what this kissing means. It means much love truly felt. That's what it means. When the father kissed his wayward son, who arose and came back to his father, it was much love truly felt. For God, now listen to me, for God never gives an expression of love without feeling it in his infinite, compassionate heart. He never does. That staggers me. Oh, did God ever kiss you? Did God ever kiss you? If he did, he meant it. He wasn't fooling around. He wasn't fooling around. He meant it if he ever kissed you. Listen, there's no hypocrisy with God. There is with you and me. A whole lot of it. Remember I told you about old Brother Coal Iron down there in Tennessee, North Carolina? I said, "Brother Coal Iron," I said, "once you come see what I seen, it'll take the brag and boast out of you." He said, "Not all of it." Not all of it. That's right, isn't it? Huh? Hypocrisy. No hypocrisy with God. None with God. Listen, he never kisses those for whom he has no love. Never does. He kisses those that he loves. And when he kisses them, this love is truly felt. And he does so out of a compassionate heart. He'll never give a Judas kiss and betray whom he embraces. He won't do that. There's no way for me in my limited ability and talent to be able to attempt in any way to measure the love of God towards poor, helpless, hopeless sinners. I can't do it. But the Bible does say that he loved us from before the foundation of the world. What more can I say? That says it all, doesn't it? Well, I'll tell you, it means, secondly, much love understood. Much love understood. First, it means much love truly felt. Now it means much love understood. When his father kissed him, this poor prodigal, this poor boy knew, if never before, that his father loved him. And there's no doubt about it. He had a clear perception of it when his father kissed him. He may have doubted before, but now his father began to smother him with kisses. Smother. Earnestly, sincerely, not one time, but again he pressed his lips upon the cheek of that wayward boy. Maybe he pressed his lips upon his lips. Oh, it was clear he felt, brethren. Oh, it means much forgiveness. It means your sins are gone. Thank God. for the Lord Jesus Christ, who stood in our stead, place, and room. He who knew no sin, but became sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We are made accepted in the Beloved by and through the meritorious sacrifice, that vicarious sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made on the cross. God Himself provided Himself a lamb. And it's only by and through the Lord Jesus Christ that God can be just and justify a sinner. God cannot justify a sinner at the expense of His justice. He can't do it. He cannot look over. He cannot bypass His justice. Justice must be satisfied. Justice must be satisfied. The Lord Jesus Christ stood in our stead, place, and room and bore the full brunt of the broken law of God for you if you're a sinner. If you're a sinner. A poor, hopeless, helpless sinner. He did it for sinners. Sinners. You a sinner? You a sinner? A hopeless sinner? Let me tell you this. The more that you can prove to me that I'm a sinner. I never get offended at the preacher when he insists upon my sinnerhood. The more he can prove to me that I'm a sinner, the more he establishes my rights and titles to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for sinners. He died for sinners. You can't. Why, you. I know I come in. I've done this and that, and you just can't make me mad by telling me. You can just criticize and you say this and that. Well, that's right. That's right. I agree with you. Christ died for sinners. You ever get beyond that, you've missed it. You've missed it. It means much forgiveness. It means that our sins are all gone. They're all gone. They're all taken away. It means they're cast behind the back of God. It means that they're as far as the east is from the west, and I'll remember them against you no more. That's what it means. It means full restoration. That's what it means. In the far country, you know, this poor boy, he meant to make request like this. He said, "Make me one of your hired servants." But the kiss of sonship there was owned. And he knew that only a kiss like this is reserved for a son. Sonship is owned. And I can hear the father whisper in his ear, and he said, "My boy, you're my..."